Today our hymns will be hymn 421, verses 1, 2, and 5, and then hymn 425.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for this morning, which you'll find in your bulletin, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesian congregation, the fourth chapter, beginning with the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Imagine for a moment that you could take the population of the city of Minneapolis, the population of St. Paul, and maybe some of the surrounding suburbs, take all of those people and make them stand in line at one time to enter some place. What a challenge that would be, and what a big group of people that would be. Some scholars estimate that the children of Israel, when they made their exodus out of Egypt and then finally entered the Promised Land, there may have been over 1 million of them waiting in line to enter the Promised Land as they crossed the Jordan River to the land that God had promised them. What a sight that must have been. How long did you have to stand in line at the far back of that with your family, maybe your kids and your donkey and everything else? Must have been quite a wait. In a certain way, that's a picture of Christians in this world. God has made us part of his family of believers through faith in Jesus as our Savior. The Son of God came down into this world, born of the Virgin Mary at Christmas time, and went and died on the cross to make payment for every sin we've ever done. And by faith in him, we have this beautiful hope that we get to go to the promised land of heaven. And those who now have faith in Christ are part of that huge band of people. But just like those children of Israel that were waiting to enter the promised land, there are kind of two portions to this band of people. There are those that have already crossed the river and have gone ahead on into heaven. We call them the church triumphant. And then there are those of us who are still waiting on this side of the river, if you will. We're still standing in a foreign land, and we're waiting our turn to cross over into that beautiful land of heaven that's waiting for us. And St. Paul is addressing those who are standing in that part of the band of people, the Christians that are now waiting to enter the promised land. And he knows that we're standing in a land that's still foreign to us, that we're still standing in a land that we don't belong to. We're told in the Bible that the children of Israel, as they made their exodus before they entered the promised land, that they were often running into bands and tribes of people that had a whole different way of looking at life and at the world, and tribes of people that tried to entice them into sin and evil. And that same problem exists for us in this group that we're standing in waiting to enter the promised land. In this foreign land of the world that we live in, our culture is full of evil all around us. And believers in Christ are constantly being tempted to step out of line with this band of people, the church, and to wander back into the evils of this world. And that's why St. Paul is writing these very important words to the church. He's writing from prison because he had to be put in prison for preaching about Jesus as our Savior. And he says this to us: walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, I want you to notice something. He's writing to first century Christians in the city of Ephesus, people that had the opportunity to hear him and maybe some of the other apostles preach and teach. These early, probably very zealous Christians, and yet he has to warn them too. Because every generation of Christians through the whole history of the church has had this same problem that we have right now. And that is being tempted back to being tempted to forget about what a wonderful band of people we have been called to be a part of. And it's especially tempting, I think, when we're young. The longer we perceive ourselves having to wait in line to get into heaven, The further back in that line that we see ourselves, I think the easier it is to take for granted this wonderful faith we've been given in Christ. The easier it is for us to start to kind of mess around with what the world has and to wander away from this calling that we've been given. Listen to what Martin Luther wrote about this text. Live consistently with your calling as a Christian. You have been called to a far different and vastly higher life than others know. The world is to recognize Christ by his shining in us. And that should especially be the case when it comes to how believers treat each other, how fellow Christians deal with one another. He says, bear with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Way back in the very early church, the congregation in the city of Corinth was having a lot of trouble. And there was fighting and dissension going on among members of that church. And that's always ugly when it happens. And the pastor in the Church of Rome wrote a long letter to them, trying to help them, encourage them to work this out in a spirit of love and harmony in keeping with the will of God expressed in his word. Beautiful letter, and a great example of striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Discord and disharmony in the church should be foreign substances. And sad to say, when they enter the church, they send shockwaves through people, and it can do a lot of damage. Paul is addressing us this way, that if you want to do something special for Christ, this great Savior that has died for you, you don't have to go do something spectacular. Just look at your own personal life. Look at how you interact with people. Look at how you treat one another. And Satan will love to utilize any slip-up on our part. Anything that we can do as far as how the world looks at us, the unbelieving world, anything that we can do that appears to be part of their sinful, evil way of looking at life is going to cause damage to Christ, going to cause damage to his church, and damage to the gospel. It will give the unbelieving world fodder to ridicule Christianity. So St. Paul here in our text reminds us so beautifully of our baptism. Notice, if you will, that all three persons of the Trinity are mentioned here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The very one who put their name on you in your baptism, claiming you and making you part of this wonderful band of people that have been washed in Christ and cleansed with his blood so that your sins are fully forgiven, and by faith in him you can be positive that you're heading to heaven. And with that band now, we have oneness and unity because of this bond of the Holy Spirit in us. So while we wait our turn in line, while we wait in that line, wherever you may be in that line, waiting to cross the river into heaven, keep in mind where you are going. And just think what a privilege it is that out of all the billions of people that have lived in this world, God, purely by his grace alone, has put you in that band that's waiting to cross that river. Amen. Let us rise and join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.